My name is Mary Beth Schultz, and I will be speaking today about, uniquely, the mind of Christ. You know, I'm a teacher, but I am not professionally in that role right now. I'm my fifth year in the school counselor's office. I was 16 years in the math room between junior high and high school, and I was 20 years at one school, and this is my second year at my new school, and I am thoroughly blessed. I really am. I love my job. I love my bosses. I love my secretary. And that's saying a lot, because the first time I came down here, I don't know if anybody sat in my class, I was in despair because I was in a horrible professional situation. But God is wonderful. I don't like change, but I totally changed. I took a pay cut, and I drive 41 miles one way to work. And I love my job. Because my job is a ministry. As a school counselor, you touch everybody. Well, I don't mean that in a bad way. My brother says I stop people from touching others in a bad way. I have adults. I have children. I have teeny tiny kids that get drug into my office, and I always ask the person in my office before they leave, do you need a hug? A lot of times I'm turned down. Sometimes I'm not. Sometimes I'm turned down the first two or three times, and then finally they need a hug. I have one grandmother who is raising her grandson. He's one of those special children that requires some extra attention. So my secretary and I are very loving people, so we have agreed to have him in our office for one period. But you know what? Every period of the day, he's a flyby just to say hi and grab a piece of candy. But you know what that means? If he's with us and doing positive things, he's not somewhere else doing negative things. So this grandmother has gone through some discipline issues with her grandson, and when I wasn't there one day, she told the principal to tell me that she needed a hug. So that means no matter where you are, at work, at home, at church, hopefully that's where you got trained, in your car, on the telephone, at the bank, in the bathroom. I've evangelized right at the sink in the bathroom. That sounds so silly. Wherever two or more are gathered, right? Right. So, I have a special notes page for you, and we might get to some of it, we might get to all of it, and we might get to none of it. But I would first like to honor three very special people in my life. The first one I want to honor is Nancy, and y'all know Nancy because she's in charge. My sister Dee has a good friend, Gabby Dye, and Gabby Dye is a worship leader. And my husband likes to describe Gabby as, when you know the love of God and you see it radiating out of people's eyes, Gabby has those eyes. She is a very gifted woman in worship, very gifted, very loving, passionate, compassionate woman. So they were hanging out, and they're pretty close, and they're going to this special meeting. And I'm invited. And I've gone to full gospel things and charismatic things before, but it doesn't matter. When you set foot into Nancy's Holy Spirit encounter, guess who you meet? The Holy Spirit. And we were hooked after that. We really were. We were hooked. So I met Nancy in Parkersburg, West Virginia, and I have followed her ever since then. Maybe I missed a year between, I don't know, when did we first start? 2006. I have notes that I found looking back to 2009 that I started keeping good records. So anytime she was in Ohio or West Virginia, I would beg my sisters and my mother and whoever else, now my brothers and my dad, to go with me to see Nancy. Now, are we really going to see Nancy? No. We're going to hear what the Holy Spirit is telling Nancy that we need. She has something imparted to her that's given to this world, and we agree with her to go and listen and practice. She pulls it out of you. You don't keep coming back unless you believe that, unless you want to be that leader. She draws leaders. You're all leaders. Yes? Yes. You don't want to say yes, do you? Yes. We're all leaders, yes? Yes. Right, Letty? Yes. My family loves Nancy. My dad loves Nancy so much, he turns to my mom and says, I'm in love with another woman. Is that okay? Mom said it was okay. She is the most down-to-earth, Holy Spirit breathed upon, fully rounded fivefold minister that I have ever met. I have sat underneath some big names as not know them personally. If I got to know them personally, I might feel different about them. I respect their giftings. I respect their big ministry. But Nancy's all about the one. She'll talk to thousands, but she's all about the one. So she's teaching us to be prepared for the one and be prepared for the thousands. Be ready in all seasons, yes? So I first honor Nancy. I second honor my husband, Kelly. So if you look on the back of the notes page, it says at the top right, Kelly Schultz, New Heart Ministries, Pastor Sermon Notes. So what I've done is I asked for his PowerPoints, and I've reviewed them, and these are the nuggets that I've pulled out. We have a home church. There could be two of us, and there could be 22 of us. It doesn't matter who's there. God still moves. And who's supposed to be there is there. Sometimes we have a whole bunch. Sometimes we only have about four or five. A lot of times when we have about four or five, there's one person that needs some very personal ministry that's very intimate, and it wouldn't be able to take place if there were a lot more people there, or maybe younger kids to hear. So God just orchestrates it. And a long time ago, we quit counting numbers. It's not about numbers. It's about obedience. Yes. My husband is my leader, and when we got together, I told him he was the head of the house, and he agreed. But he kept telling me that I was also a leader. I kept getting forced into leadership positions at school and in ministry, and I didn't like it because I don't like change. I'll be honest, I just like to blame other people for when things go wrong. But I have learned to suck it up. So basically, you expect the best, but prepare for the worst, right? So when you prepare for something, when you're packing, when you're teaching, when you're doing any activity, you plan ahead, you organize, you find out what's going to happen there, who's going to be there, what's going to be the activities, and you try to orchestrate the best activity possible, whether it's a church activity, a family function, whatever it is. Expect the best, but also plan for the worst. I love my husband, Kelly, if you can't tell. He is an awesome husband. He is an awesome father, an awesome stepfather, an awesome pastor, an awesome friend. Somebody pick one. Did anybody look down through there? Let's just read out one of them and honor my husband with one of his notes. I've underlined the main topic. So which one, Jim? What am I doing and why am I doing it? He talked about this most recently. The notes read, at the heart of our negative behavior is an attempt to get our legitimate needs met in an illegitimate way. realize that if any one person could meet all of our deep inner needs, we wouldn't need God. The Lord planned that he would be the one to consistently meet all our needs. The Lord is quite capable of meeting our inner needs by himself without any human assistance. However, he often works through his people as an extension of his care and compassion to meet our deepest needs. Let's review the path to become free. And then he goes on. That's one that he often preaches on. Face, recognize, exchange, experience. Face the truth of your own negative habit. Recognize the inner needs you are trying to meet through this negative habit. Exchange trying to meet your own needs for allowing Christ to meet those needs. Experience Christ's inner strength as your source for change. What we feed upon is critically important to our freedom. There were two trees in the Garden of Eden. One produced life, the other death. Eating from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil will always, always, always produce death. To be made truly free, we must continue to eat from the tree of life. That is Christ. So when you hear me talk, I do not like to give hardly any time to the enemy. I know that we need to be aware of the enemy, aware of the enemy's devices. Expect the best, but prepare for the worst. I've had family members, oh, Satan is getting me down. Oh, Satan this. Oh, Satan that. Well, who are you glorifying? I, in turn, say, instead of, don't step in that mud hole, walk around that mud hole. Put the positive twist on it. What is the behavior? What do you expect? You are highly favored. I expect a good report of the Lord. I expect a test and what to do to be healthy, Gene. Yes? Amen. On the left, on the back of my notes page, recent spiritual meals. Well, I will have to confess. Over the break, I had about 2 weeks off, and any other Star Trek fans out there? I am on Voyager Season 6, and I've been binge-watching Netflix for a couple of weeks. So don't think that it's only podcasts. I'm human too, and I consume. But you know what? God loves you where you are. God can minister to you with your hobbies, with what you like, and interesting things that you watch or read. Now, does that mean you go way off the deep end? No. But my mom always says that my sister and I have always been fascinated with science fiction because we are so fascinated with the supernatural, the positive supernatural, the move of the Spirit, God's giftings. So on the left is some information that lets you know what I have been feeding on. So not only do I listen to my husband's teachings, not only have I sat under Nancy and gone to all the workshops for the past 3 years now, I love Bethel Ministries. I subscribe to the podcast, so you'll hear me talking a lot about Bill Johnson, Eric Johnson, Chris Volatin. I love Andy Stanley. I subscribe to those podcasts. Andy Stanley's local, right? He's an Atlanta boy, or at least there now. And I didn't have any message to write down. Nothing really sparked, but I have been listening a lot to Sid Roth. That's supernatural. He is the Jew who is the Christian Jew who was called to minister to his Hebrew brothers and sisters. He has lots of guest speakers on his show. And I have to say, I have bought many books after listening to those podcasts, and I have watched other videos based on who he's interviewed. The last one that I subscribe to on my iPhone is John and Lisa Bevere. Now, I respect John, but John reminds me of somebody that hurt me in my past, a pastor who was not firm, fair, and friendly, mean, judgmental, black and white, heaven and hell, sin, sin, sin. And I didn't like that. John's not like that. But the way he talks reminds me of that. And I can take ministry from John, but I kind of have to think through his tone of voice because it reminds me of a pain in my past. But Lisa now, I just gobble up anything she has to say. She is straightforward Italian, in your face. This is how I used to be. This is how God showed me to be. I think maybe you should think about how God wants you to be. Let's look at Eric Johnson's. He's the second one from the top. Eric Johnson, Bethel Sermon of the Week podcast, Seeking God in Crisis and Success from December 6, 2015. You become what you worship. Some of us need to end a lifestyle of worshiping our problems. How do I know they're an idol in my life? What do you talk about most? Have you made chaos your identity? You develop ecosystems that perpetuate the problem, and you don't know how to break them. That doesn't solve it, does it? That statement right there. That doesn't solve what that person's going through. What's the title of this lesson? The Mind of Christ. So what am I implying with ending that way? What do we need to break the cycle of emphasizing our problems and not believing in the positive or not believing in what the Spirit can do or what God can do or what Jesus can do in your life? We need the mind of Christ. Flip back to the front. These two visual aids talk about the body, the soul, and the spirit. The title is The Mind of Christ. But what does the mind of Christ mean? So when we think of Christ, we think of Christ in heaven? I don't know. Somebody could have a different view. Do we think of Christ on earth? Do we think of both of them? What does mind of Christ really mean? Because you know what? We live in a body. We have a soul, which refers to mind, will, and emotions, and we have a spirit. Those are all three things that are warring inside of us for attention. When I'm hungry and haven't eaten in 6 or 8 hours, what am I listening to? My body. If I'm fasting after 6 or 8 hours, what do? Deny my flesh, focus on the Lord, and how do I do that? It's okay, your spirit can continue to commune, but you have to get in charge of your mind, your will, and your emotions and say, I repress that fleshly desire. And I'm using fasting as an example. It could be lots of things in your life. You know what? I've watched my third Voyager Netflix video today. Maybe I should put it down, Beth. Right? Right. Have I been neglecting someone? My husband says, look at me when I'm talking to you. The top icon, the visual aid, the clip art, whatever you want to call it on my page, got me to thinking there is an linkage between all of these things, between the spirit and the mind, between the spirit and the body, between the body and the mind, between the mind and the body. We've got all of these things going on at once. What do we do with them?
Bring them all under control of Jesus.
Okay. Bring them all under control through Jesus. Work them together. Now, for people who walk in victory and are conquerors, their behaviors most often are what should be modeled. Some of us aren't there yet. So how do we get there? So where are we? That's one of my questions. Where are we? In my counseling training, we talked about something called the world view. The world view is what makes you up. what has happened in your past, what family were you born into, what educational level have you accomplished, what do you feed yourself with now, what hobbies do you have, everything that makes up you, your successes, your failures, people who have spoken life into you, people who have put you down or rejected you, all of those things that have happened to you creates your worldview. Twins can be raised. It seems nearly exactly the same. But do they act the same? No. They are individuals. You can observe the same event, but have a different response. You are an individual. You process things differently. So something could have happened to your body. Your mind says, oh, what's going on here? I hate that person because they did that to me on purpose. But your spirit, through the anointing of the Holy Spirit, says, that's my Christian brother or sister, and I need to show them mercy. But boy, aren't I agitated, and they've done that to me all my life. They, meaning that person, might not have been the they, but it's those type of people who single me out because the whole world is out to get me. Now, that's an attitude that some people have. And I have to admit, in some parts in my life, I had that attitude. That's a very prideful, it's all about me, it's not about anybody else attitude. It's not about me. But it's all about me. It's not about you. But it's all about you. So, how many of you were here last night when I took up the offering? So when I drew the heart and said, my husband says this, do you remember what I said? You complete me. Now, he's saying that to me as a husband to a wife. I was saying that to you as Jesus talking to the kingdom. We're put here for a purpose. If we were just here to worship God, he'd have yanked us up to heaven a long time ago. We're here to serve our brothers and sisters, to love them in appropriate ways, to help them be better people, to help us be better people. And for me to be a better people, I need to help you be a better people. Why in the world would I take off from work unpaid, come all the way to Georgia, just to stand here and talk? Because it ain't about the money. My bills will get paid. I am highly favored. I am highly blessed. I have never gone without. My parents have shown me how to sow into the kingdom, how to sow into people, and I have always been obedient to that, and I have reaped great rewards. Now, do I live in a mansion? And, you know, I kind of think it's a pretty nice house, isn't it? Do I drive a nice car? Well, yeah, I think I drive a nice car. Do I have children who love me and honor God? Yeah, I think I do. Do I have family who our family reunion is coming to a Holy Spirit encounter? That's it. Highly favored. Highly favored. It's not about you, but it's all about you. I was most scared of the rich. I know what it's like to be poor. I know what it's like to be middle class. I really don't know what it's like to be rich. And all of those levels of income have different expectations, have different norms in their class to say this is acceptable, this is not acceptable. It doesn't matter. If God has told me to go up to anyone and give them money, encourage them, ask them a prompting question to get them to think about something, give them something else, even though they have so much, it doesn't matter. I should do it. What's my fear? My fear is rejection. I have a lot of experience with working with the low and the middle income. I know how to live that. I know how to interact with that. I know how to love that. I was scared to love the upper class. And that's a fault of my own. Am I learning to overcome that? Yes. Now, has God put me in the country club yet? So yes, I live on a golf course. wherever you are planted, bloom. Remember the picture, the story of the daisies, the daisy and the concrete pushing up through? Wherever you are planted, bloom. You have giftings. You have something only you can give that person in that moment of time. Give it. You know what it's like to walk off and be grieved. I missed it. They're gone. They already drove down the road. They already left the school. They already went out of the office. Well, you know what? God will give you another chance. Act on it. Be brave. Be bold. I know that some of you are given limitations at work, but I know that there's still an appropriate way that you can love people. And they know that it's Jesus showing through you. So your worldview is everything that's you. But we need to be focused and have actions that are primarily based on listening to the Spirit. We would have Bible study, a ladies group. And one thing that I tried to get across to them was there's nothing wrong with emotions. And I heard it come out of my sister's mouth this morning. There's nothing wrong with emotions. What you do with those emotions can cause havoc. Or it can create life. Nothing wrong with emotions. You're allowed to have feelings. I permit you to feel. God permits you to feel. What are you going to do with those emotions? So speaking of emotions, let's look at the little notes page. And this is where I'm honoring the third pastor. This was given to me by Pastor Evelyn Glass, and I did not know who to give credit to because, you know, I'm a teacher. I teach online psychology, and we use APA format, and I always make my students create a citation, and I always give credit where credit's due. So if you want to write down this note, this diagram was created by Tony Smith. He's from Delta Junction, Alaska, and he attends the Delta Junction Christian Center, where Ben and Evelyn have very important roles. So we're looking at emotions. Remember, we're trying to have the mind of Christ. We're trying to be led by the Spirit. We live in a body. We have a soul, which is mind, will, and emotions. All of these things are warring. I still make mistakes, but I still want to do better. So how can I do that? How can I be better? So let's just take one. Anybody name one across the top?
Joy.
So let's start at the bottom. The bottom, the dark one. On the left, it says body, flesh, emotions, sinful damage, hazard zone leads to death. So when you think of your body and your flesh, you think of gut reaction. This is what you might think of first to do. So joy, ooh. Under joy, the body and the flesh in the death zone would be torment, grief, torture, and wretchedness. Those are horrible words, aren't they? Now what if we were in the soul, mind, emotions, the red zone, the negative, hurtful, danger zone, and could possibly make you sick? Anguish, distress, hurtful, self-pity, depression, sorrow, miserable. Wow. Now let's go up to the spirit emotions, the positive, helpful, good zone, which brings life. Underneath joy is delight, gladness, blissful, satisfied. I have a quote. See? The Holy Spirit just orchestrates the whole workshop. So focusing on joy, let's flip back to the back of the notes page. Bill Johnson, in the Bethel Sermon of the Week from the podcast, God Works Through Willing Vessels on December 13th, 2015, says, exceedingly great joy. That's what he's talking about. Dot, dot, dot means he said some stuff in between, and here's what I'm focusing on. Peace is joy that's quiet. Joy is peace that's loud. Joy and happy, a lot of people confuse. Happy is a state of mind. Joy is a lifestyle. You choose to be joyful. You can be happy or sad, but you can choose to have joy. You can choose to live in torment. You can choose to live in self-pity, or you can choose to delight yourself in the Lord, no matter your circumstances. Pick another one.
Patience.
Let's again start at the bottom. The body, flesh, emotions. Sinful, damage, hazard zone, leads to death. Combative, fights, aggression, incompatible. The red zone. The soul, the mind, emotions. The negative, hurtful, danger zone that could possibly make you sick. Unstable, inconsistent, wavering, uncommitted, false, insecure. Now, the spirit emotions, the positive, helpful, good zone that brings life. Consistent, constant, tolerant, stable. Those are words underneath patience. You have emotions all the time. What are you choosing to do with them? Are your emotions taking you captive? Or are you allowing your spirit to overrule your mind, your soul, your body, or your flesh, and taking the mind of Christ and choosing to be tolerant? I don't know if I would call it tolerant. I might call it loving. But we're not underneath the love column, but somehow love is all of them, you know? Love is the theme for the year. Love conquers a multitude of sins. Multitude, that's a bunch. Let's look at another one.
Love.
Let's start on the bottom, the black zone. Body, flesh, emotion, sinful, danger, hazard zone, leads to death. Hate, rage, wrath. Soul, mind, emotions, the red zone, negative, hurtful, danger zone, makes sick. Anger. Unlovely, detestable, fightings, hostile, grudges. The spirit emotions, the positive, helpful, good zone brings life. Mercy, compassion, goodwill, friendship. What so things are lovely? What so things are pure? Focus on these. Philippians 4:8, the New Living Testament. And now, dear brothers and sisters, one final thing. Fix your thoughts on what is true and honorable and right and pure and lovely and admirable. Think about things that are excellent and worthy of praise. So, what are you worshiping? What you worship is where your eyes are. Where do you spend your time? Since we're talking about emotions, let's go ahead and look at Bill Johnson's excerpt on the notes page. This is from the Bethel Sermon of the Week podcast. And this wasn't even going to be a sermon of the week. It just happened to be a Bethel staff meeting that they thought was very good to share. Bill did a lot of crying. A lot of other people on the leadership team did a lot of crying. It was kind of a Q&A with Bill. So this was back on December 2nd in 2015. So Chris is asking Bill about processing conflict. It's hard to reject someone you know. It's easy to reject somebody you read about in the paper. It's about the relationship. Generally, if I'm in the room with somebody, then I'll react differently than if I heard the report. What I try to do is encounter the person who is not in the room. Chris summarizes it as a benefit of the doubt mentality. It hardly ever is the way it looks. We can come to conclusions too quickly. It's tough to take a conclusion back. It's tough to recover from a bad conclusion. You can be forgiven but it's hard to undo the word. You said it. It's out there in the atmosphere. What did you say? Did you show mercy? Or did you get angry? Did you show the black level? Or did you show the red level? Or did you show the blue level of response to your emotion? It didn't change the fact that something probably went wrong, but your response to it could be different. I don't like this scripture because I find myself here too much. I have to admit, I strive to be led by the Spirit, but I find myself in Revelation 3:16. It's one of the scriptures I've listed on the front. But since you are like lukewarm water, neither hot nor cold, I will spit you out of my mouth. Where should we be all the time in our life? In the blue. I've already admitted, I am sometimes in the red. Very, very, very rarely am I down at the bottom. You pretty much have to have done something against my daughter. And the lion, the mama wolf, everything will come out in protection of my daughter. And I have to admit, my first initial reaction might be from the black zone. But you suppress it. Maybe you grumble to your husband and processing it. And then you help yourself get to the red zone. And then you talk to God about it. And then finally, you get yourself to the blue zone. I'm just being transparent. I'm 43 years old. I am the last of six children. I have been employed as an adult and in the public, so I interact with a lot of people. I've taught both high school and I still teach college. So I meet a lot of people. I have a chance to be offended by a lot of people. How I choose to react to that reaction not only says something about them, it says something about me. Because if I put a curse on them, it's out there. I can't take that back, just like Bill's saying. So, clamp it down. Clamp down the body, the blood pressure, the rage, the tension. Shut the mouth, which is the body, but really the mind, the will, and the emotions. Take them captive. Focus on the Spirit. Your Spirit is always communing with the Holy Spirit. You just got to listen to it a little more. I really like that Nancy read from Deuteronomy 8:10 this morning. I didn't write the whole scripture, but I did write that it's talking about feasting and being satisfied and then blessing the Lord. Yes? So I listen to just about every morning while I'm getting ready, scripture. I play it on my iPhone while I'm doing my makeup and brushing my teeth. I tend to get focused on a book and even a given chapter. A couple months ago, I repeated the book of Genesis 1 and 2, all the way up to where Cain was about to kill Abel. I listened to the Garden of Eden. In every version, I could listen to it for at least 3 weeks. It's like I couldn't get out of it. But what was that feeding me? It was reminding me of focusing on life, the two trees in the garden. God wanted to commune with us. We messed up. I'm not going to blame it on Adam and Eve. That could have been me. It probably is us. But God has redeemed us. We still have that chance to commune with our Lord like he wants us to in the cool of the day, in the hot of the day, in the wet of the day, in the snow of the day, in the blistering sun of the day, in the air conditioning of the day, all day long. So, most recently, I've been in Haggai. So I got out of Genesis, and I'm in Haggai. And sometimes I just scroll down through and ask the Holy Spirit, what should I listen to next? And I don't even know what Haggai's going to say, but I've been listening to the book of Haggai, and it's, what, all of 2 chapters long. So here's what I have been emphasizing, verses 3 through 6 and 10 through 13. Then the Lord sent this message to the prophet Haggai. Why are you living in luxurious houses while my house lies in ruins? This is what the Lord of Heaven's army says. Look at what's happening to you. You have planted much, but harvest little. You eat but are not satisfied. You drink but are still thirsty. You put on clothes but cannot keep warm. Your wages disappear as though you were putting them in pockets filled with holes. That's what we shouldn't do. That's the black zone, the blue zone. Nancy gave us a verse, Deuteronomy 8:10, that talks about eat, be satisfied, and then bless the Lord. So, God's house is not the tabernacle, a physical building. God's house is this body that includes this mind, will, and emotions, that houses this spirit that can continually commune with the Holy Spirit. What are you feeding it? Why is it not satisfied? I love Jesus. I love Jesus because he was a man. He was a deity, but he was a man. He went through it all. He suffered the most horrible things. And I've heard a lot of messages about Calvary, but what I like to focus on is his day-to-day life. He was submissive to his mother in creating wine out of water. He had close relationship with people who were not trained, who did not know how to love others. They made mistakes and wanted to call down hell and damnation on the people that didn't receive the Lord. He had to rebuke them, but he didn't reject them. He even loved the one that betrayed him. He lived every day. We can live every day. How did he live? Matthew 9:10-13. Later, Matthew invited Jesus and his disciples to his home as dinner guests, along with many tax collectors and other disreputable sinners. But when the Pharisees saw this, them's the church people, they asked his disciples, "Why does your teacher eat with such scum?" When Jesus heard this, he said, "Healthy people don't need a doctor. Sick people do." Then he added, "Now go and learn the meaning of this scripture. I want you to show mercy, not offer sacrifices. For I have come to call not those who think they are righteous, but those who know they are sinners." I don't walk around because I'm in the blue and puffed up and know, hey, look at me. I walk around because I have the potential to be in the black, to know that I sometimes live in the red, but aspire to be all in the blue. That means I have to forgive my sister. My sister has to forgive me. We have a very good relationship, but I guarantee there are times that I offend her, and I'm sure there are times that she offends me. Standing in line last night, Evelyn looks to me after I gave my little spiel about my message, and she says, "Aren't you singing?" I'm the intellectual. Schooled. Other people have been gifted in my family with the artistic. But as my sister says, we have all gifts. We be obedient. So when God tells us to sing, even though we're not the singer, we sing. So since my first workshop down here 3 years ago, I have sang, I think I believe, every workshop. But I couldn't last night break the flow of what was going. Do you remember the two people before me? Sister Nancy and Brother John? Something was going on there. A healing was starting to take place. Whenever it gets finished, God only knows. But something was happening. So you can't disrespect what was going on in the spirit there by jumping into a song. But you guys are going to get the song. Gather around me, everybody. Gather around me. While I testify, I feel a sermon coming on. If you want to hear my story, then just chill out. Don't be uptight while I review the attitude of doing right. You've got to accentuate the positive. Eliminate the negative, latch on to the affirmative, and don't mess with Mr. In-Between. You've got to Spread joy up to the maximum. Bring gloom down to that minimum. Have faith, for pandemonium is liable to walk up on the scene. To illustrate my last remark, talking about Jonah in the whale, Noah in the ark. What did they do when everything looked so dark? Then they said, we better accentuate the positive, eliminate the negative, latch on to the affirmative, and don't mess with Mr. In-Between. Hand motions. Pretend like we're in Sunday school. Accentuate the positive. Hands in the air like you're praising God. You can stand up if you want. You're probably tired of sitting. Go ahead, stand up. So accentuate the positives. Hands raised in praise. Eliminate the negative. I'm just throwing my thumb over my shoulder. Latch on to the affirmative. I've got my hands locked in front of me. And don't mess with Mr. In Between. Wag your finger. So let's sing the chorus. You've got to accentuate the positive. Eliminate the negative. Latch on to the affirmative. And don't mess with Mr. In Between. Very good. That is the bulk of my presentation, and there's only one more thing that I want to start with you, and God's going to finish it on the activation and impartation. So I don't know where Nancy is, but okay. This is a worldly item that was taken from something spiritual. When I was in high school, I got a new coach my senior year in track, and I was a hurdler. And I don't know if you know anything about hurdling. I used to four-step them, and that's not the fastest way to run hurdles. You need to three-step them. So my new coach would have me in this dark room, laying still, breathing in a certain way, visualizing three-stepping these hurdles. So it was a visualization thing. And that's okay. But I don't want to do it the world's way. I want to do it God's way. So when I'm confronted by people who say things like, how do you know the voice of God? How do you listen to God? And seeing you hear and seeing you interact, I think you all know the voice of God. Maybe we just need to be more obedient. But what I want you to do is I want you to get comfortable. I don't care if you lay down or stay where you are, move to the couch, whatever. But I want you to practice a spiritual version of this. I want you to invite in the Holy Spirit. In counseling, this is a therapeutic technique called theophostic, God light. So what it does, and I'm not doing that with you today, but it is a therapeutic process, a Christian therapeutic process, where you envision a hurt in your past. And what we try and do is get to the root of, for example, anger or rejection, or, you know, some of those negative black things that we talked about on the emotions chart. Where did it start? Let's get to the root. But we usually start with some sort of event that is close in our own life to our own age, and then we work back. But in each event, we visualize the event, and then we picture, where is Jesus? Or where is the Holy Spirit? How can this event change in me? Because that event was the event. It's your emotion, your reaction, that you haven't necessarily unpacked your luggage. So this helps you unpack and process and get healing. So it doesn't have to be a hurt. What I want you to do is I want you to picture something where you need growth. A relationship, a place, a thing, a hobby. It doesn't matter what it is. So I want you to close your eyes. It helps to just relax and center yourself. So I want you to visualize. We're taking you a step up, right? It's all about love. You're in a safe place. Nancy's going to come and activate us, and I believe the Holy Spirit is going to meet you more than halfway. So I want you to picture, what is this event? Who is this person? What are you doing? Do you see, smell, taste, hear, touch? Use your senses that affect your body. that affect your mind, will, emotions. Let your spirit, let the Holy Spirit come in. So I want you to just ponder, what's the Spirit trying to tell you in this particular place? They're visualizing an event or a hobby or a relationship that's in their life. Okay, we're going in the other room and we're all going to get activated in the sanctuary. And thank you for coming.